This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. T-Mobile.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's time for the Mercedes in the Morning pre-show, Mix 94.1.
Good morning and welcome to the pre-show. It is Monday. It is March 24th, 5:33. Thank you guys for joining us. We are back. We had last week off, as many of you did, for spring break. So welcome back if you're a Clark County student or an educator. Nice little week off. How you doing this morning?
It's good to be back. I had a great trip to Sacramento with family, and I spent some time with one of my friends from middle school. And just happy to be back. What about you? You went to San Diego, right?
Yes, I did. I worked at the beginning of the week, and then we went to San Diego and just hung out for a little while. My daughter, she goes to school there, so we didn't have anything big planned. We just kind of relaxed and did some shopping and stuff. Came home this weekend, and I don't know what happened, but I don't know if I ate something bad or if it was me and my husband, but we got some stomach thing going on. And no. It's yesterday I was just completely out of commission, and then last night it started for him. So It's just, I'm still like, oh my gosh, I'm having the hardest time going this morning. But I was like, you can't call out sick the day after you come back from the vacation. So I am asking for a little bit of patience if I am not feeling great this morning. But yeah, I don't know if we ate something bad or if it's just like some stomach bug going around, but it's been a rough one for sure.
Is it just you and Matt, or did the girls get affected at all?
No, it's just the two of us, as far as I know. My oldest, she's out in San Diego, so she's fine. But Brooklyn was fine last night. I don't know. It just was like, I thought it was just me because it was me all day yesterday. And then last night, Matt just kept getting up all night. So of course I didn't sleep. And then I was on that clock from, you know, spring break where you go to bed later. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting 24 hours, but here we are. And yes, I am very excited to be back. We've got so much to catch up on. It was kind of a lot happening this week. So we're really excited. We've got some really cool prizes to give away this week. So yeah, we are super excited to be back. Let's start the show. Time for the pre-show. You pick them. You guys get to pick the first song of the show. Do you want to hear My Lovin' by En Vogue?
You're never gonna get it. Not this time.
Never, never gonna get it.
My lovin'.
No, you're never gonna get it.
Do you want to hear Cruel Summer by Ace of Base?
It's a cruel summer. Leaving me here on my own. It's a cruel summer.
Or do you want to hear When You Were Young by The Killers? Choices. You can vote right now. Let's do this. You can tweet us on X or Threads at Mercedes in the AM. You can vote on our Facebook page, which is Mercedes in the Morning, or text or call us right now, 702 364-9400. We'll count your votes now and reveal the winner next on Mix 94.1. I've done a lot of cool interviews over the years, but nothing could have prepared me for this moment. It was race day at NASCAR last weekend, and I had the absolute honor of interviewing the Morgan Freeman.
Oh my gosh, so cool.
The Morgan Freeman, the voice of God, a Hollywood legend.
I hope I can make it across the border. I hope to see my friend and shake his hand. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it has been in my dreams.
The man who could narrate my grocery list and make it sound profound. I couldn't believe it. And I was trying really hard to keep it professional. Focus on questions. Don't freak out. Don't stare into his eyes for too long. Just basic rules for interviewing someone of his status. But as I was standing there, I was looking at him and he suddenly paused. And this is before we do the interview. We're just kind of chit-chatting. And he looked at me and he tilted his head and just stared at me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening? So I'm spiraling.
Yeah, all the thoughts.
Did I say something weird? Am I making too much eye contact? Did he just seem into my soul? What is happening? And then in that unmistakable voice.
I hope I can make it across the border.
He said, smooth as silk, you've got a little something right there on your eyelash.
No.
I froze. I was like, what? He was talking about my eyelash. Morgan Freeman was talking about my eyelash.
And did he like get his hand and like take it off of you?
Yeah. So before I could even react, he reached out, gentle, careful, like he was performing the most delicate surgery in human history. And Morgan Freeman was about to remove the offending piece of debris from my face. I couldn't believe it. My mind went completely blank.
What an honor, though. What a beautiful honor. You know, like you said, his voice is like buttery silk. Was the way he was removing your eyelash the same way?
It was so gentle. It was just so kind. And so he takes it off and then he kind of flicks it with his fingers. And I didn't know what to do. Should I thank him? Should I bow to him? Should I tell him I'm never going to wash my face again? Before I could do everything, he took it. He goes, just a little bit of glitter. And I was like, oh my gosh, the way he said it, because I had unknowingly been in the presence of a disco ball around Morgan Freeman.
No kidding.
I don't know why I have glitter on my eyelash, but I was personally de-glittered by Morgan Freeman. Do I get a plaque for that? Do I get a certificate? Is there a support group for this? What can I do here?
Well, did you get anything from video or photos? I mean, I did see photos and videos of you and Morgan Freeman, but this particular moment, was it documented?
It was not documented. Oh. It was our little special behind the scenes moment. Nothing I said after that mattered with the interview. At the end of the day, Morgan Freeman touched my face, and I will absolutely be telling this story at every holiday gathering for the rest of my life.
Yes, you will.
It's Mix 94.1.
Welcome to another episode of Mercedes in the Morning. And now, here's your host, Mercedes.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show. It is Monday, March 24th. It is 6:03. Hey, Clark County students, welcome back from spring break. Hope it was a good one. We are back. We have the week off, a little spring break vacation, just a quick little trip, couple of days to San Diego for us, which was really nice. And you went to NorCal, right?
Yes, Sacramento for my nephew's graduation. He just graduated to be a California Highway Patrol officer, and it was incredible. Last Wednesday, we woke up super early in the morning. I guess every time our cadets graduate to be officers, they do a run from the training academy all the way to the Capitol, which is about 5 miles, and it's awesome. They're escorted by like police cars. They shut the streets down. You see their friends and families with signs, and we were out there in like 30 degree weather, but it was so cool.
Oh, that's so cool. I saw the pictures. I'm sure you guys were all so proud. What a cool thing that you guys got to witness.
It was incredible. Also, during the graduation, we weren't expecting him to get an award, and out of all of the 125 cadets that became officers, my nephew got top athlete. And what that means is like they are the fastest. They do like the most push-ups. They do the most crunches. So when they were describing the person, I was like, oh, wait, that's my nephew.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. It was really great.
That makes me feel like so lazy hearing all the great things he did. And this is what I did. Like I said, we went to San Diego, just kind of like, you know, bummed around, went out to some dinners and stuff. I watched, does anyone else watch Severance or White Lotus? Does anybody watch these shows? Because I watched those shows and I was losing my mind last week. I watched the Severance finale and I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I was so angry. I just could not contain myself. I was like, I was screaming at the TV. And then last night I'm watching White Lotus and the show is just getting so bizarre and so weird and
yes,
it's crossing the line. It is crossing the line and I am so upset about these two shows and I don't know anyone else that watches them. I need someone to talk to about this.
I know. Okay. I know Ramon watches White Lotus, but James is the same way as you. He's watching Severance. He's watching White Lotus. I'm not caught up with White Lotus, but the thing I saw that crossed the line on White Lotus, it was a little second. I said, absolutely not. No way.
It's so not appropriate. Like, what are you doing? But I'm telling you, I'm just like, what is this guy that writes the show is a genius. Like, I don't know how he's going to, there's two episodes left. I don't know how he's going to wrap this up.
Huh.
It's so fascinating to me. But yeah, if anyone else wants to talk about either of their shows, I am here because I am so upset about that.
And then with Severance, I hear James screaming, no!
I know!
What?
I was so angry. It was a mess.
Oh,
but yeah,
I can't wait to hear about it.
We are so back, and we've got a lot coming up this morning. We've got your passes to check out Reggae in the Desert. That's coming up at 7:30 with the Mega Minute. Also, it's the number one movie in the country, Snow White. We've got your tickets. That's coming up with Heads Up this morning. But on the way next, we have What's Trending. Beyoncé just gave Vegas another reason to say yeehaw. We got the details coming up in What's Trending.
Are you guys ready? All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Mercedes in the Morning's What's Trending. What's Trending on Mix 94.1.
Beyoncé is trending this morning. She is blessing Vegas with another night of the Cowboy Carter Tour. So due to overwhelming demand, Allegiant Stadium is getting a second show on July 26th. They made the big announcement on both shows last week. The extra date comes as ticket sales for the tour are soaring. 94% of available tickets have already been snatched up, which I'll be honest, I was surprised to hear the number was that high just because I haven't heard as much chatter on this tour as I did on her Renaissance
yes
tour. I felt like mm-hmm it was a lot bigger with Renaissance, but 94% of the available tickets have been purchased. The tour kicks off April 28th in Inglewood, California, hitting cities like Chicago, London, Paris, before wrapping up for now here in Las Vegas. But let's be honest, she could always add more
mm-hmm
dates, you
she
know?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that is definitely a possibility. Did you get your tickets?
I got my ticket. No, I got my ticket. I have one ticket. I'm going by myself to the Cowboy Carter tour.
Oh, James doesn't want to go with you?
Well, that's the thing. Because we're trying to save money, he's like, just go by yourself. And if I need to go, I'll add a ticket. But I don't even think we'll be sitting next to each other. We'll go together if he ends up going. But I told him, I'm like, I'd rather go by myself. I'd rather be with people and next people that are enjoying themselves. Not saying that James isn't a fan of Beyonce, but I'm such a huge fan of her that he's just going for me. You know what I mean?
Are you sitting with people you know, or you literally just bought one ticket in the middle of like wherever and you're just gonna go and roll the dice and hope that you sit by people that you become friends with?
I'm rolling the dice.
Really?
Yes, I'm rolling the dice to see if I sit next to people that are having the time of their lives too. And I got a pretty good seat. It's I really wanted Club Hoedown, which is down on the floor right next to her, and it's standing room only so that I can mingle, go everywhere I wanted. But when I got into the Beehive presale this past week, I wasn't able to get it. Both shows were sold out Friday and Saturday. So I was like, best available ticket.
So how are your seats now?
They're great. Oh, yeah. The seat that I have right now is amazing. And I was like, oh, there's more pre-sales going on. Like GA, I believe, is tomorrow. And I'm like, it's fine. I'll just risk it and I'll go with the best available ticket.
Oh my gosh. You are braver than I am. I will do some things by myself. You know, I'll go out to eat by myself. I'll go to a movie by myself. But I don't know if I would go to a concert by myself. I'm so intrigued by this.
What about BTS? You wouldn't go by yourself? Like, you got a, maybe not a free ticket, but you got a lifetime chance to see BTS by yourself.
You know what? I probably would. I probably would if it was them. I feel like I would find someone who would adopt me as their concert buddy for the day. And like you said, tickets for the new show, they go on sale tomorrow, March 25th, 12 p.m. our time. So if you missed out the first time, here is your chance, and that is what's trending.
Something you should go and love yourself.
Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. Certain dog breeds are known for certain things. You know, like Dobermans, they're known for being a little bit aggressive, very protective. You've got I don't know what Chihuahuas, little yappy.
Yes.
That's what they're known for. You had an experience with a breed over the weekend, and now you think they're overrated?
I do. I think they're overrated. And I think I'm going to make a lot of dog owners upset, but the dog breed that I think is overrated are Huskies.
Why? Well, I think they're such beautiful dogs.
Don't get me wrong. Gorgeous. Their eyes, they're captivating. They're beautiful. But I stayed over at my friend's house this past week, and she has a Husky. And I had no idea that these are the things that these Husky dog owners experience. We would be in the kitchen or we'd be in the living room and we'd just be standing around. And then all of a sudden, you'll see, like, in the air, in the wind, a ton of dog hair. The shedding that Huskies have, I never knew it was this bad. And it's the season, the spring season, I heard. Huskies, they shed really, really bad.
I think there are so many dog breeds that have, like, shedding issues. I had pugs, and they shed like crazy, especially the fawn-colored ones. Our black pug didn't shed as badly, but, oh, man, the dog hair, that's just something that you got to know you're signing up for when you get certain breeds. But do you think that makes them overrated? That's just part of the package.
It is part of the package. And then another thing that I never knew that Huskies did, I knew that they barked, but they would howl. At least my friend's Husky, she would howl. Her name is Zola. And Zola, out of nowhere, in the middle of the night, like there was a full moon. I'm like, what is that? And she goes, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. That's Zoe. Please don't mind Zoe howling in the middle of the night.
Is there a dog breed that you think is like completely overrated or that gets way more love than you think? I have such a hard time with this because I just love all the dog breeds. But like if I had to pick one, I think it's got to be those what are the dog breeds that are like dog breeds of a royalty? That is it, King Charles Cavalier or something?
The long little ears,
yes.
And they have wavy hair.
They're so cute. Don't get me wrong. They're so, so cute. But I feel like they're kind of, they know they're cute and they're kind of snotty.
Oh my God. Okay. You're reminding me of my sister-in-law's dog. His name is Dustin, and Dustin thinks he is the most best dog. He doesn't hang out with any other dogs. I swear to her, like, he'll cross his paws. I can see that.
What are other dog breeds that get way too much love? I mean, I'm obviously a pug fan, but I know I get personally offended when people talk about how ugly they are.
Aww.
Like, I'm just like, how dare you? Like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Why are we dogging on dogs
and
here?
Not only that, but I think pugs are cute, but if you really look at them, their eyes, they're very bulgy.
Oh, they are very bulgy. That is very true. I will give you that. What would be the downside of your breed of dog, a Shih Tzu?
A Shih Tzu, oh my gosh, Shih Tzu's hair. You always need to groom them. You always need to brush them. And that is why when I take Momo in to get groomed, I tell him, just do it all. Just give him a bald cut. And that's one of the things that Shih Tzus are really known for, is their high grooming needs. And They kind of look like Chewbacca's. They look like
Chewbacca's. Oh, I can kind of see that with the jaw. Absolutely. We're getting some texts here. 702-364-9400. Golden Retrievers are so overrated. Everyone seems to love them, but do you realize that they need endless exercise and attention? If you're not ready for zoomies at 6 a.m. every day, reconsider. Also, their shedding will have you finding golden tumbleweeds in your house forever.
Golden tumbleweeds.
Oh, that's so sad. I thought they were like the most loyal of all dogs.
And I think they are the most loyal, but that is so true. I know some golden retrievers that always need to be running after the ball, playing catch, and then when you're tired, they're not. The energy just does not end.
We're getting some husky owners here that are responding to you. We've had huskies. They're beautiful, but also one of the least domesticated breeds. They love to hunt, even little dogs. We did the fox hunt on our husky during the spring and summer. The fox cut on our husky during the spring and summer, and it helped a lot with shedding. This one, oh gosh, you're going to totally reconsider your position on huskies.
Okay.
My husky sings "Who Let the Dogs Out." He's not the normal husky. I'll send you a video if you want to see him sing the song. Yes, please. Absolutely. I cannot wait to see a husky sing Who Let Me Out. It's Mix 94.1.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
I know it's different for all different jobs out there, especially in Las Vegas when people are working 24/7. But when you go and look at the typical workday, your average 9-to-5 kind of job, Americans are typically working shorter days than even a few years ago and ending their workday before 5 instead of after it. They did this new analysis and they pulled these stats from Workforce Analytics and they found that the average workday ends at 4:39 p.m., which is 42 minutes earlier than the quitting time of 5:21 p.m. 2 years ago. The average workday now lasts 8 hours and 41 minutes, which is down from 9 hours and 32 minutes in the first quarter of 2022. Even though the workday is shorter, though, worker productivity is up 2% over the same time span. So we're just getting more done more efficiently, I guess.
I guess, yeah. And then maybe people who transition from working from home or that time period, maybe, yeah, it's the efficiency. Like, oh, I know how to multitask a little bit better. I know how to watch my kid. I know how to work at the same time. But now they're in the office and they're like, hey, I got it done.
Well, I think, too, a lot of people just assume, like, you leave work and your work is done and you leave it there. And in some jobs, that may be the case. But I think that in a lot of jobs, you take work home with you.
Yeah.
And I know with us, people think, oh, you're done at 10. How easy. It's like, no. First of all, we don't leave at 10. We're still here. And then on top of that, I probably work 2 to 3 hours a night at home prepping for the next day.
Gosh, Sundays. I mean, like yesterday, I know that I had so much to catch up on work that I actually came to the station so I could just focus.
The smart.
And just, I think I was here for like 3 hours. And yeah, people don't understand.
Yeah. And so I was talking to a teacher friend of mine and someone had made the comment to her. She's like, oh, at least you're done by 3. And she's like, I go home and I'm grading papers and I'm answering emails. And so I think a lot of people think that, okay, the workday may end at this time, but it really doesn't end.
Yeah.
It's always going. Also this morning, it's no secret that walking is good for us. And apparently it's better than we thought. Walking is the best exercise that you can do, according to a new study from the exercise science arena at the University of Alabama. There are ways to boost the health benefits of taking those steps. Research shows that one easy way is increasing your walking speed or your cadence to about 100 steps per minute, and then moving after meals and doing 1 minute bursts of high intensity activity can also help. But in terms of picking an exercise to do, they say that walking is the one. There's no cost. There's no equipment. There's no skill requirement.
Love
you
this.
Can do it all by yourself.
Oh my gosh, I love walking. Walking's one of my favorite things. I don't like lifting weights. I don't like running. Walking's my thing.
Maybe we'll talk about it later on. I got in trouble because I wanted to walk last week. like so bad. It caused the biggest issue because I was like, hey, instead of driving to dinner, we were in San Diego. I'm looking on Google Maps. I'm like, this place is 0.2 miles away.
Oh my gosh.
Let's walk. And everyone's like, no, I don't want to walk. And I was like, come on. It's 0.2 miles, you guys. So we walked and it completely backfired on me. We'll talk about that maybe in the 8 o'clock hour.
Sounds good.
It was so bad. All right. Finally, this morning, the Phillies and the Blue Jays spring training game on Friday had a little bit of excitement. I don't know if you saw this, but
yes.
A Toronto fan was sitting in the area behind the batter's box and decided to moon the crowd and the cameras. And yes, audiences watching the game on TV saw the action. A woman sitting next to him tried to stop the move, but ended up laughing. No word on whether the guy got in trouble or not. The Blue Jays won the game, by the way. But you could see him on his phone talking to someone like they were planning it. He's like, I dare you to do this. And then he just got up and did it.
The video is hysterical. And it's funny because whenever I watch baseball games, that's one of the things I do is I watch the people that are in the front rows of the crowds. I don't know what it is, but I think it's so intriguing. But when I watch this video of this guy mooning everybody, he's like slowly going. He's slowly putting up, you could see the crack of his butt, and I don't know if it's his wife or whatever. She's like, no, sit down, stop.
We did the same thing, not the mooning, but my brother-in-law got us great tickets to a Colorado Rockies game, and this was years ago. My dad was still alive. We're behind the home plate, and you can see us on TV because my brother Mario is watching at home. He's like texting. He's like, I see you guys.
That's so cool.
He's like, do something. And so I told my dad, I'm like, Dad, go do something. So he goes right up behind home plate and does the double flex in front of the camera, and it went everywhere. Everyone took screenshots of it. It was so funny.
Oh, we love your dad for that. That's so funny.
I'm glad he didn't suggest the moon thing because he might have done that too.
It's time for Beat Mercedes. Mercedes. Can you guess the song faster than she can? Let's go.
Mackenzie, good morning. You're caller 20.
Woo! I'm so excited.
Let's do this, Mackenzie. Let's get you this $200 diamond pendant from Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers. It is absolutely beautiful, customized to your liking. It's going to be amazing. Just have to guess the song faster than I can. Are you pretty good at this stuff?
I hope so. I'm so nervous.
No, don't be nervous. Take a breath. Let's all breathe together. Ooh. Okay. Except I'm not going to breathe because I want to lose. So I will hold my breath and I will give you the chance to breathe. I'm going to leave the studio and give you a shot at this, Mackenzie. You got this. Good luck, girl.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Bye, Mercedes.
Later.
She's leaving the studio. All right, Mackenzie, this is how the game works. You're going to hear the first 20 seconds of a song, and once you know the correct artist and title, I need you to shout out, got it, so we stop the clock, and you got to say something within 5 seconds. You say got it, okay, Mackenzie?
Okay.
We got this. All right, Mackenzie, the next sound that you hear is the song, and it starts now.
Oh no.
I belong. 20 seconds. Any guesses, Mackenzie?
I have no idea.
No. Oh, that's okay, Mackenzie. We're going to bring Mercedes in to see if she can.
Mercedes,
Mackenzie, you're dropping off your son. It's Branson, right?
Bronson.
I'm sorry, Bronson.
Yeah,
where does Bronson go to school?
He goes to Northwest Tech.
Nice. Shout out Northwest Tech. Yeah. All right, Mercedes is back.
Hello.
Welcome back.
All
right.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's do this on this Monday. The next sound that you hear is the game, and it starts now.
Got it.
Oh, man. That's not even fair.
It's not.
Sheryl Crow, If It Makes You Happy.
Final answer?
Yeah, we played that song a few times.
The you stopped the clock at 1.6 seconds.
Yeah.
And Mackenzie went the 20 seconds and didn't know it.
It makes you.
You know, that actually makes me feel a little bit better about guessing it so fast when they don't get it at all. At least it wasn't close, you know?
It wasn't close at all.
The close ones are the ones that make me feel incredibly guilty. But Mackenzie, hey, thank you for trying. At the very least, you just increased the value of that beautiful diamond pendant. Tomorrow morning, same time, we'll be playing for a $225 diamond pendant, courtesy of Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers. In the meantime, here's Sheryl Crow now. It's Mix 94.1. It is such a sad day. The company behind Forever 21 has filed for bankruptcy.
No.
This is the second time in 6 years, and this time they are closing all their stores in the U.S., and they've been struggling for a while now. They blame a lot of their problems on foreign fast fashion retailers like Shein and Temu and things like that, especially because online shopping just went crazy during the pandemic, and that just kind of put them out of business. But they have about 800 locations worldwide, 43,000 employees, but they closed 30% of them in their first bankruptcy filing. But there's still about 540 locations across the country, including here in Las Vegas, that we have to say goodbye to.
I think Forever 21 was such a huge part of the mall culture. Like back in the day when I was a teenager, that was the place to go to. I'm from San Diego. It was Plaza Bonita in National City, the place to go to. Forever 21 was a huge one. Do you remember Charlotte Russe?
I do. That was where you would go to get cute dresses for like prom or homecoming or things like that. And then Forever 21 was my go-to when me and my friends were going out and we needed a going out outfit.
Yes.
It was Forever 21, always.
Forever 21, Charlotte Russe, another one that we missed. We were talking about it, me and my husband, James. Spencer's. Do you remember Spencer's?
Yes.
He said that he had to, he went to EDC 1 year, and this was before it was in Vegas. So EDC was in LA. He had to buy his EDC ticket at a Spencer's. I never knew that's where you got your EDC tickets.
I didn't know that either. I just remember being a kid going to Spencer's in the mall and like wandering into an adult section and not knowing what the things were. I'm like, what are all these things?
What are these neon colored things?
And then people would like hush me out of there like, no, you do not belong in this area. That was such a huge part of mall culture. I think of this is going back, and you were probably really young when this was a thing, but does anyone remember Contempo? Contempo was Forever 21 before Forever 21.
Contempo,
I remember like going from Spencer's with my friends over to Contempo. And at the time I was a little younger for that, but I always looked at those outfits thinking, I'm going to buy these outfits. They're so cool.
Yeah.
Contempo was the place to go.
For me, I remember when I would go to the mall with my grandma and I'd be with my little cousin. She was about like 2 or 3 years old. When we went to the mall, we had to avoid the store KB Toys.
Oh, yes.
KB Toys. That was such a good memory.
So there's a store that is like my personal form of torture, though, when it comes to going to the mall. Does anyone else have a store that is like torture for you? It's the one place that my daughter insists on going whenever we go to the mall together, and we went this weekend to downtown Summerlin, and she said, can we go here? And I just knew a fight is inevitable. We're going to get in a fight. And for us, that store is Altered State.
Altered State? I don't know if I've heard
You've
of that.
Never been in Altered State before? Brooklyn loves that store. Me, I dread it every single time. Don't get me wrong. The clothes are cute.
So cute. I'm
They're
looking online.
They're so cute. Okay. But we have this routine, okay? So I walk in and at the doors, there are two chairs that are right there. So when we walk in, I immediately sit in one of those chairs.
Do your thing, honey. Go ahead.
I'm like, so go. So I sit in the chairs because why are they there if they're not for moms like me? And she instantly gets mad because I sit down. And then comes the text. Come look at what I picked out. And so I'm like, oh. So I get up, walk in the back. And I don't like anything that she picked out. I'm just being honest. I don't like it. It doesn't, you know, I just don't think it's cute. She gets mad again. Then she's like, well, I'm going to go try it on. And I'm like, okay, so where do I go? The couch. That's right there in the dressing room. So I plop down on the couch and just wait for her. She gets mad again. She opens the door. Can you come in here? I don't want to come out there in this. And I was like, oh. So I go in there. It's hot in there. I'm just like, she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, it's cute, I guess. It wasn't enough enthusiasm for her. So she gets mad. So she goes, you know what? Just forget it. And then she hangs stuff up and then we walk out of there both mad at each other.
That sounds like the most common mother-daughter relationship, because for me, I have something similar. When I went to the certain store with my mom, she knew, like, we couldn't afford anything in the store, but I wanted this really bad. And at the Otay Mall in San Diego, there's a store called Anthropology. I don't know if
I love Anthropology. Yes. They have one in downtown Silverlake. Yes. I love that store.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Anthropology was one of my favorite stores. I never bought a single thing because it's pricey.
It is pricey. Yes.
I wanted this dress and it was for like, I forget, it was like a birthday party, but it was gorgeous. It was like a spring dress and it fit me perfectly. My mom and I went into Anthropology and she said, absolutely not. We can't afford this. It's like a $300 dress.
Oh.
I'm like, please, like, what if we got grandma to come in on it? Like, you pay $150, and I could do like some chores around the house. She goes, no, you are not buying a $300 dress. You're 14. And Anthropology was the store that she was torture for my mom.
That is, I can see that being a torturous store because, yeah, everything is cute, but it's very much mm-hmm. a certain price point. Is there a store that will cause a fight no matter what? 702-364-9400. Ramon, do you have one with your family?
Target.
Why?
We go in there for one thing and Jackie comes out with a cart full of, you know, garbage.
Garbage? Target is not full of garbage.
You guys are reacting the same way she would.
We did say that in unison. Garbage!
Like, that is our store. Target, you can't take that away from a woman. That's our store.
It's like, we go for one reason. I know where it's at. We could beamline straight there and walk right out. Instead, we're doing all these detours, the scenic route. Oh,
you know what gets me about Target is they have just, like, cute random stuff like pillows or like I don't need, or a basket.
Yep.
Like, my husband's like, why do you want a basket? A basket for what? I'm like, I don't know, but I like it, you know?
They are so smart too. Target, when you walk in, they have like those dollar sections that are so cute. I mean, you can't blame them. Target's the best.
I'd rather her just go by herself. But even if she goes by herself, it's like she spends all this money. So, like, maybe I should go with her and try to talk her out of it.
Well, it doesn't help that they put Starbucks in there.
Oh, yeah, that's game over. When Starbucks came in.
I spent 3 hours in Target just getting my Starbies,
yes.
walking around.
That's our new hobby.
Let's just go on Target tours.
Yes.
All right, it is time to win with the Mega Minute. We have a pair of tickets for you to check out Reggae in the Desert. It's going to be at the Clark County Amphitheater on April 19th. Your tickets right now. All you got to do is answer 10 questions correctly in the span of 60 seconds. Can you conquer the Mega Minute? We're talking pop culture questions, common knowledge, trivia. You just never know what you are going to draw with the Mega Minute. So caller 20 right now. You get to take a shot at it. 702-364-9400. Good luck. It's Mix.
Are you ready? It's time for Mercedes in the Morning's Mega Minute.
Jessica, you're caller 20.
Yeah.
How you doing this Monday morning?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you guys?
We are great. We're back from vacation. We're ready to go. And we would love to just start off the week with a winner here for the Mega Minute. We've got these Reggae in the Desert tickets for you. You got 60 seconds and you just got to answer these 10 questions correct. Do you think you can do it?
I hope so. Let's do it.
All right.
If you're struggling with the question, Jessica, you can pass on one. Or if you get one wrong, if there's time at the end, we'll go back to those questions. And Jessica, the Mega Minute, it starts now.
What season are we currently in?
Spring.
Yes. What is the name of the river that flows through Egypt?
The Nile.
Yes. What is the center of a hurricane called?
The eye.
Yes. What flavor is Sprite?
Lemon lime?
Yes. How many strings does a bass guitar have?
Six, five?
No. What?
Four?
Yes. What country is Bob Marley from?
Jamaica?
Yes. What does Snow White eat that poisons her?
Apple.
Yes. What Apple TV show stars Adam Scott as Mark?
Severn?
Yes. Top of the World restaurant is located in which Las Vegas casino?
The Stratosphere?
Yes. Lose Yourself by Eminem is in which movie?
8 Mile.
Yes! Jessica, with time to spare, you just conquered the Mega Minute! Oh my God!
No struggles at all.
The only struggle was on my end on one question. I was like, "Oh my gosh! I hope this doesn't take
which
time
one?
Off." I said, "What does Snow White eat that poisons her?" I think I said, "Does Snow White?" I flubbed up the
okay,
words,
but
she
still.
Was fine. And Jessica, you had a bunch of time left over. Congratulations.
Those were just the perfect questions for me.
You
so I'll have to thank my daughter for being late for school this morning. That's the only reason I was still listening.
That's amazing, Jessica. Well, please ask her to be late every day. We love that you listen.
Yes.
And thank you so much for doing that. You just got a pair of tickets to check out Reggae in the Desert. It's happening at the Clark County Amphitheater on April 19th. You are in for free, and we are going to have more of these tickets tomorrow morning, 7:30 with the Mega Minute.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
There's supposedly 8 billion people in this world. And if that makes you feel like you are completely insignificant, you're not alone. Well, this new study has just found that there might be way more people on Earth than we thought, more than 8 billion. According to the UN, we officially crossed that 8 billion mark in November of 2022. But researchers in Finland, they think that estimate is way off. And the system used to track it is flawed. They looked at all this different data from a bunch of different countries, and they found that the number of people that live in rural communities is really undercounted, like big time. Now, they didn't give a number or say what they think the global population really is, but they think the population in those areas might be undercounted by 53% to 84%. So
wow.
Think about that. That would be a huge number. Other population experts disagree, and they think that their study was flawed. But if they're right, it could mean that there are billions more people on Earth than we even thought.
Imagine. I can't even grasp my brain around 8 billion or even think that it's more. But like you said, you know, not only do we feel not insignificant when you think of that number, but my problems compared to all the other billions of people in the world, I don't know. I'd swipe it under the rug.
But you also don't want to underestimate your importance.
True.
You know, on
yes.
things that bother you. Like what? What is bothering you right now?
What's bothering me right now? Back to work. We just got back from a whole week. And now I'm trying to get back into a routine. Like today, being back at work, I'm like, wait, how do I press these buttons again? What's coming up next?
Yeah.
What time is this at? I mean, it's so little.
And that's, but it's valid. And you're right to feel that way.
You're right.
And it matters. Ramon, what is bothering you right now?
I'm a little sleepy.
valid. I mean, I think a lot of people are probably experiencing that exact same thing.
Okay, you, Mercedes, what's bothering you right now?
Oh, my stomach. It's a mess. I was so sick yesterday, like all day I was out of it. And then last night it hit my husband and he's got it. And so I'm just like sitting here just...
And you don't know where it's from?
Well, we'd made a determination. He texted me. We went out to eat on Saturday night, and it was me, him, and Brooklyn. And there was one thing that the two of us ate that Brooklyn did not eat, and it was queso. And we think it was the queso that destroyed us. Yeah. So here's my question. Would you call the restaurant and be like, hey, heads up, we got sick from your queso? Or would you just like let it be and say, well, maybe it is on our end. Maybe we have a dairy issue, even though I really haven't had a dairy issue before. Like, have you ever called a restaurant to tell them that their food may have made you sick? I don't know for sure, but that's the common denominator here.
Maybe I would give a heads up saying, hey, we're pretty sure that it came from your queso. I just want to give you the heads up. Not sure if anyone else has called or if any of your workers have eaten it, but we think it might be your queso. Do with that information what you will.
I'll let it go. It's so hard to prove. and you know, and be like, hey, it was your queso. It's just so hard to prove it was the queso.
But at the same time, like, if you're working at the restaurant and you get that call, do you really do something, or are you like, eh, okay, thanks. Thanks for the heads up.
You hang up and say, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's cool. Cool story. Yeah, better.
Thanks, bro.
Also this morning, the key to avoiding being abducted by aliens might be just being nice to them. So yesterday was Alien Abduction Day, which is a thing. It's an actual thing. So this website put out a list of the states with the highest likelihood of alien abduction. And so they analyzed all this data and they found that California is the state with the highest likelihood of people being abducted by aliens.
Wow.
One UFO sighting for every 1,075 people. The rest of the top five, Washington, Florida, Oregon, and New York. So, I mean, basically, you know, the full Pacific coast is representative with California, Oregon, and Washington. Now, what are the states with the lowest chance of an alien abduction? Many of them are in the South, so maybe they love that Southern hospitality or something.
Louisiana, chicken and waffles.
Louisiana was dead last with just one UFO sighting per 3,815 people, then Mississippi, and then Alabama. Now, Nevada was in the top 10 of most likely to be abducted. We were number 10, which, you know, of course, we're the home of Area 51.
Yeah, I would have thought that Nevada would score much higher than 10.
Too.
Like, at least number 2.
Yeah, I
think.
Agree.
New Mexico, where's New Mexico? I feel like they're highly likely of an alien abduction.
New Mexico is, they're not in the top 10.
Okay.
So you've got Arizona, Colorado, they're all in there, but yeah. No, New Mexico.
I think New Mexico. I don't know why I think New Mexico that they're
Roswell.
Aliens. There you go.
Yeah, yes. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've seen some things in the sky recently that my husband's like, it's a drone. But I think otherwise. There's some weird stuff happening in these skies, you guys.
Mercedes, you're spiritually connected. I think you're like a
trust.
You're next, Mercedes.
We're like, where is she?
She came in peace and she left in peace.
Finally, this morning, you're not yourself when you're deceased. A British man known for his sense of humor named Paul Broom, who worked as a care assistant at a home for adults with learning disabilities, had joked for years that he wanted to be buried in a Snickers-themed coffin.
Like a Snickers bar?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone laughed at what they thought was a joke, but he was not kidding. He even included it in his will. And he actually, he passed away. His coffin was made to look like a Snickers candy bar wrapper, but instead of the name of the candy, the logo said, "I'm nuts." And the coffin also included the logo of Crystal Palace FC, which is the soccer club he supported his entire life. So you put your favorite candy and your favorite team on your coffin. What's on your coffin?
I have, you know, I love Hi-Chews.
Hi-Chews
is my favorite candy. And then, favorite team, it'd have to be the Chargers.
Okay.
A Chargers-themed Hi-Chew coffin.
Okay, Ramon, what's on yours?
Milky Way.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, the Raiders. And I hope, can they get the Raider players to bury me so they can let me down one more time?
Max Crosby would love to bury you, man. Hey, rest in peace, Ramon. Mercedes, you?
I think I would have like gummy bears on there, and then the Yankees for sure.
Haribo.
I just think that it's hilarious that you want the Raiders. I love how you are such a diehard Raiders fan, but it's like maybe they should be asking for the coffin at this point. Don't you think? I feel so bad
blow.
For that. No, I didn't mean that. And oh man, I don't need Raiders fans coming after me. It's Mix 94.1.
If you want to be my lover,
Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning. We were off last week. We had a spring break vacation and visiting my daughter in San Diego was a perfect little getaway. And to top it off, we had some really nice dinners planned. It was very nice. And I told you I was going to bring this up because there was an issue. And I felt like I was a hero. But I also think that my husband thought that I had to do this because this whole situation was my fault in the first place.
Oh.
Now, this is first world problems here. I want to preface this because it's ridiculous, but I think you and Ramon will appreciate this because you guys are, I'll say, of the same mindset as my husband in, so, okay. in something. Oh. Okay. So the restaurant we were going to, Google Maps said it was a 5-minute walk. It was 0.2 miles away. The sun was setting. The air was crisp but comfortable. The walk over, I suggested, let's walk instead of taking the car out of the garage. Yeah. Let's just walk over there. Everyone's like, no, let's just drive. And I was like, we're walking.
Yeah.
We are walking. So we walk over there to the restaurant, and it was just a very peaceful walk. It was very beautiful. We're looking at the ocean. It was gorgeous. So we go into the restaurant. We eat. It was wonderful. And the second we step outside, downpour.
Mm. What? The rain?
The sky decided we'd had enough happiness for one night. And out of nowhere, it just started pouring. And it wasn't a cute little drizzle. It was not a light mist. It was a full-on downpour in San Diego.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was fine. I was like, you know, what's a little rain gonna do? I had sneakers on. I had a hoodie on. Brooklyn was fine. She had her hoodie on. Sophie was fine. She's a college student. She's probably walked through worse on campus.
Right.
But Matt was not fine.
Uh-oh.
Matt was wearing his very expensive, very not waterproof sneakers.
No, which ones?
The kind that cost more than my first car, okay? He was wearing the pine green threes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep.
Okay, so that that doesn't mean anything to anyone if you're not a sneakerhead, but right. I know you guys know what that means, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, James got the pine greens, and it was like the end of the, oh my God, I got the pine greens. Yes, these shoes are very expensive, and it takes a lot to get them.
Yeah. So he looks down at his shoes and he looks at the rain and he's like, I can't walk through this. And I'm like, you'll be fine. It's quick. And he's like, no, I'm going to have to wait it out. I can't get these shoes wet. Okay. So I'm like, you're being a baby. And he's like, no, I'm not. You go ahead. I am not going. So we're full on fighting in front of Miguel's. Here.
You have Miguel's too. Yes. Darn it.
And I was just in pure devastation in his face. So we had one of two choices. Either power walk back to the hotel in the rain, knowing full well his sneakers might not survive the journey, or stand there helplessly hoping that the rain would magically stop. Neither option was great. And that's where my brilliant idea hit me. I said, give me your coat. He had a waterproof jacket. I said, give me your jacket. I'll run back to the hotel in the rain. I'll get the car and I'll come pick you guys up.
No, you didn't.
Wow.
No, you didn't.
What a great wife.
You offered to go back, run in the rain, just so that he wouldn't walk, what, 0.2 miles with his sneakers, his pine greens.
It was crazy. So I got to tell you what happened after that.
Okay.
Here I am running through the streets of San Diego with a downpour.
For you.
But have you ever felt like you were the hero, or what did you do out of pure love? 702-364-9400. I'll tell you what happened. And I just think it shows that I am truly a hero to my husband.
You are.
I saved the pine greens. Or did I? We'll talk about it coming up next. It's Mix 94.1. When were you the unconventional hero, the hero of the day? You don't want to pat yourself on the back, but you felt like you really did something above and beyond. I was telling you guys how I felt like I saved the day. We were in San Diego, walked to a restaurant from our hotel. By the time we came out, it was pouring down rain, and we were all fine with it, except my husband was wearing some really fancy sneakers, I guess, and his face just turned white. He was like, I can't get these wet. And so I said, give me your jacket. I will walk back to the hotel in the rain.
Wow.
Get the car and bring it to you. Now, he looked at me with such deep, profound love that I offered to do that. He's like, are you serious? Brooklyn looked at me like I was the biggest sucker on earth. And Sophie, the supportive daughter, just looked at me and kind of nodded like, yeah, that seems fair. You're the one who made us walk here. So there I was, sprinting through the streets of San Diego in the rain alone. Like I was in some kind of dramatic rom-com, but without the rom or the com.
Right.
My sneakers completely soaked. My hair, disaster.
Wait, what kind of sneakers were you wearing?
I think I was just wearing like Dunks or something like
okay.
that. Nothing that I wasn't afraid of getting dirty, but I finally pulled up to the restaurant, shivering, soaked. Was I met with applause? No. Fanfare? No. Brooklyn was laughing at me. Sophie was recording me for Instagram. And then Matt just got in like nothing even happened.
What? No thanks, babe. You know, you saved the day. You are my hero. I love you. None of that.
Were you just holding it inside, Matt?
Yeah, that's not quite the actual fact of the day.
Oh, we need to hear Matt's side of the story. Matt, what really happened?
I had on these cool pine green threes for St. Patty's Day, and I normally check the weather, and I had checked the weather, and it was like a 30% chance. I'm like, oh, that's nothing. Nah, we're fine. Come outside, and it's pouring down rain, so I left my my Gore-Tex Jordans at home, so now I'm in these pine green threes, and Mercedes goes, I'll go get the car. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, but you got to give me your jacket. I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem. It's waterproof and a hood, so her hair never got wet. And when she got us, she was completely soaked. The jacket was completely soaked, yes, but no, she didn't look like she traveled through rivers and streams and
like Pocahontas
on the way to the car.
That was rough, man. I did that to save you and your shoes.
And what if you know, like, what if Mercedes fixed herself up really quick while she was in the car, like, oh, the love of my life, I just saved his shoes. And that's why she didn't look like that, like the craziness that you might have thought.
The jacket was waterproof, so it was soaking, dripping all over the rental car.
I'm telling you, and I felt like the biggest hero. I felt like I deserved some sort of like medal or something.
100%. Otherwise, I was going to go in and ask for some takeout bags and a rubber band and make some galoshes out of them and walk back to the hotel that 2/10 of a mile.
I should have had him do that. Wouldn't that have been great? Oh. With the big plastic bags on his feet. We're getting so many texts. When were you the unconventional hero? This one says, my wife left her curling iron on and I turned around 3 miles into my drive to go unplug it. Did she say thank you? No. But do we still have a house? Yes.
Okay.
This one says, my best friend had way too many margaritas on vacation. I carried her and her giant tote bag full of souvenirs back to the hotel. She still doesn't know how she got there. And this one, man, this is a hero. Not all heroes wear capes. The ice cream truck was driving away, so I full-on sprinted down the street to flag it down for my niece. I am 42 years old, and my neighbors are still talking about it.
How sweet of you, though, Mercedes. I honestly, if I was in your situation, I'm like, we're Ubering. We're going to get a $3 Uber. I'm not running back, so good for you, Mercedes.
Oh, I didn't want to do that to an Uber driver, make us drive 0.2 miles. It was no big deal, honestly. I'm just joking, but it was just so funny. The look on his face when we walked out and he saw the rain, he's like, I can't walk in this. It was like the most dramatic thing I've ever seen.
I will never recover. My pine greens will never recover.
First world problems. And like their shoes. Come on. But all right. It is time to win. Time to win with Heads Up and Up for Grabs. We've got tickets for you to check out the number one movie in the country right now, Snow White. We've got 2 Fandango codes to see Disney's Snow White at participating theaters starting now. I mean, it opened on Friday, and like I said, it's number one in the box office this weekend. So caller 20, you get to pick your category, and if you get 6 answers in 60 seconds, you are going to win these tickets. Caller 20 plays 702-364-9400.
It's time for Heads Up with Mercedes in the Morning on Mix 94.1.
All right, Estella, you are caller 20. You ready to play Heads Up?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. We've got these Fandango codes for you to check out Disney's Snow White. Let's pick a category. Do you want to go with Hogwarts, Mai Tai, Mr. Clean, Kidney Stones, or Multiply?
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean, it is. National Cleaning Week is this week. These are all things associated with cleaning, okay? My favorite thing to do.
Sprinkling. Really?
No, not at all. But we're going to do this, Estella. We got this. We just got to get 6 in 60 seconds, and I think we can get it done. You ready?
Yep.
All right, you guys got this. 60 seconds starts now.
All right, you use this to clean your dishes. Dish what?
a sponge?
No, like the liquid is what?
Soap.
Yes. If you're going to mop your floors, you put water in one of these so you can stick the mop in there.
Like a bucket?
Yes. This is, if you're cleaning your whites, you probably use this.
Bleach?
Yes. If you are doing the dishes, like you said, you might scrub them with one of these.
A sponge?
Yes. This is, if you clog your toilet, you're going to need one of these.
Plunger.
Yes. If you are cleaning your floor, you're going to put this, get this wet and wipe it all over your floor.
Mop.
Yes.
Nice.
Estella, you got it. Congratulations.
Nice. Thank you.
You are going to see the number one movie in the country, Disney's Snow White. We have two Fandango codes for you to check it out. Just arrived in theaters on Friday, and now you are going to see it for free. Congratulations, and we'll have more of these tickets for you tomorrow morning with Heads Up.
It's time for the Hot 3 on Mix 94.1.
The Hot 3 is powered by Best Mattress. Just like David says, sleep easy, friends.
A high school basketball championship in upstate New York took a shocking turn when Northville High School's coach Jim Zullo was fired for yanking the ponytail of one of his star players after an emotional loss. It was during Northville's 43-37 defeat to Lafargeville in the Class D finals. And senior Haley Monroe, she scored 12 points and she was seen crying with her teammates when Zullo, the coach, suddenly pulled her hair and appeared to yell at her. Her teammate, Amaya Tompkins, who is also Zullo's great niece, she intervened. The Northville Central School District quickly condemned his actions, saying this type of behavior has no place within our programs. They confirmed that Zullo would no longer be coaching. He later issued a public apology, saying, "Under no circumstance is it acceptable to put my hands on a player, and I am truly sorry." The school board didn't comment any further, but the incident has sparked a lot of debate about coaching culture and the pressures on student athletes. Do you think something like this is an isolated mistake or a sign of a deeper issue in high school sports? And is there anyone listening that actually got it involved or had words with a coach because of something that they did or said to their kid? 702-364-9400.
I coached middle school and I coached dance, and it was in for an after school program, and we had to sit down and talk about these things. Like, we couldn't have the kids, this was back in the day, but we couldn't have kids' numbers. We couldn't touch them in any way, like even like a hand on the shoulder. We were very well trained to do these things. So when I see this video of this high school coach pulling this girl's hair, I was like, absolutely not. That is something that is we are taught as coaches to not do. And not only that, I'm looking at the picture of him. Why does the coach look like Anthony Hopkins from Cannibal?
I didn't see that.
Like, he looks like a, I'm sorry, he looks like a villain. And that was not something that a coach should do.
I couldn't agree more. I think that that was so uncalled for. Both of my daughters played sports, and there was always a common set of rules. And it was, if you have an issue with the coach, please use the 24-hour rule. And that was to take 24 hours to think about your concern before initiating a conversation.
I like this.
And sometimes that was hard to do. There were times where I was so fired up and so upset, and I wanted to talk to them immediately, but I was like, I'm going to wait the 24 hours. By then, cooler heads prevail and you can have a conversation with them. But I think something that is important too is that you have to have your kid advocate for themselves.
Yes.
And stand up for themselves and not be disrespectful to the coach. But if there's an issue, I think your kid should talk to the coach first about the issue before the parent gets involved.
I love this 24-hour rule, because I would get a lot of parents like, why wasn't my dancer in the middle? Mm-hmm. Or why wasn't my dancer in this? And I'd have to explain to them, like, they go through an audition process for different songs. So if you don't think they were good enough, I can record the audition and show you. But yeah, I love that rule. I wish that we implemented that, something like that, at our school.
Do you have that rule? I know that you coach your son's baseball team remotely. hormone. Do you guys have that same rule?
Yeah, nothing ever gets physical, for sure. I remember growing up, well, I played sports my whole life, and I played soccer for 10 years, and one of my first coaches was super aggressive. He was a yeller. He was a screamer. But he never touched anyone. So that's, I think that it's very... Yeah, crossing the line is when you touch somebody else.
And yanking her ponytail that. Oh my gosh. I was shocked when I saw that. I'm sorry, but they would not get 24 hours if I saw a coach doing that to my kid. That would be like 24 seconds and I'm right there in your face.
What would you have done if you were that mom?
Oh, I would have approached him immediately. Honestly, I don't want to say what I would have done. I probably would have done the wrong thing. I probably would not have done what I should have done. But yeah, that was brutal. Also this morning, a growing number of women older than 40 are having children, while a record low number of teenagers are giving birth. There was a new report that was released this month, and it showed for the first time since 2023, there were more births among women 40 and older than there were to teenage girls. They say there's been this huge flip in age distribution. And back in the 90s, adolescents accounted for almost 13% of births. In 2023, 4%.
Wow.
It's gone down a lot.
Well, I look at the generation and I look at my mom. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have kids later in life was because I saw the struggles that my mom went through. She had my oldest brother at 14. And then
are you serious?
14 was my oldest.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then my second brother, she had him at 18. And seeing that, I said, I don't want to have kids till like 30. And now I'm here at 30. And I'm like, still don't have kids. I'm like, oh, this stat makes me more comfortable.
Well, I think a lot of women are really focusing on establishing themselves in their career and doing things that they want to do while they can do it. Not saying you can't do things with children, but it's easier to like travel the world and take certain jobs and move across the country. That's a lot easier. And so I totally see that. I have a friend who's 42 and is pregnant right now. And, you know, it's a high risk pregnancy and they're keeping an eye on her and she's healthy and, you know, it's totally fine. But yeah, she's like, this was when it was supposed to happen for me. There's no textbook that says this is the time you're supposed to have
God's plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Finally, this morning, finding the right person to spend your life with can be challenging, but you have to know what you want in the relationship first. And according to a new survey, it looks into young Americans' lives and their satisfaction with intimacy. And one thing matters much more than anything else for millennials. And that is good relations. The quality of sex is the most important factor. 86% of millennials say that is more important than having similar hobbies, than having similar taste in TV shows.
Wow.
Millennials care more about having satisfying sex lives more than having similar lifestyles, sharing political views, anything like that.
That's gotta be top three at least, right?
I mean, I guess, but I think when I was dating James is because he was a dancer. I loved dancers. And then he was just funny. Dancer was my top two, top three. I don't know.
Doesn't dancing kind of give you a preview of what's to come in the bedroom?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You're
there.
Like, he's a good dancer.
I can move his hips.
I like a body roll here and there.
Mix 94.1. It's Mercedes in the morning, and it is Monday. That means it's time for Jerk or Justified. Is this person a jerk or are they completely justified? If you ever have a situation, we love to get them. So you can email us through our website, mix941.fm, just like Aspen did. Aspen sent us this email and let us know what you think. 702-364-9400. He says, hi guys, my name is Aspen and I'm dying to know if you guys think this girl I met was a jerk or justified. I know what I think, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay, so long story short, I'm 23 and met a 22-year-old woman at a friend's party 2 weeks ago. And we've gone out a few times since then. She ended it with me last night when she told me that although she finds me physically attractive and a good guy, she can't see herself married to a guy named Aspen. It's not my fault I'm named Aspen. My dad knocked up my mom and Aspen on their honeymoon.
Nice.
So if I were a girl, I'd be named Aspen too. I've never looked at my name as a turnoff to women, but maybe I was wrong. Can a name be a turnoff? I don't think there's a name I'd be turned off by. Do you think she was just using my name as an excuse to break it off with me? Or is it a legitimate reason? Is she being a jerk or is this justified? Signed, Aspen. 702-364-9400. What do you think?
It's hard to really tell if this person is really using the name to break them off. It might. I feel like, Aspen, I feel like they're using your name as an excuse. Although it's the lamest excuse I've ever heard. Like, oh, sorry, I can't be with you because your name is Aspen. Maybe they're using it as a cop-out and there's something else and they don't want to tell you. That's what I think.
I think you have a point. I think that there's probably something more to it. However, I'm not saying she's justified in any way, but don't we all have that name that we're like, ugh. Like, maybe you've had a bad experience with someone with that name before. Maybe this was not a very nice person to you. And you feel, you know it's not right, but you kind of generalize people like all blanks are terrible.
Yes.
Or all so-and-sos are jerks. Now, I'm not saying this is that case, but sometimes we have a name bias.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I wonder, but Aspen is such a unique name.
I like it.
I don't know if that someone can really be like, oh, Aspens, all Aspens are all beeps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's more just the name in itself for her. Dawn, good morning. Welcome to Jerker Justified. What do you think?
Good morning, guys. I think she's definitely a jerk. You know, Aspen, there's nothing wrong with that name. She's definitely using it as an excuse. I wouldn't care if his name was Leroy or whatever. I mean, I don't call my husband by his name usually. It's honey, babe, whatever, you know. If you care about somebody, the name is irrelevant.
Do you have a name bias though towards a certain name where you're like, you know, I've never had a good experience with a person named blank. Do you have that at all, or is that just us?
No, that's Mike. Mike, I definitely have a problem with Mike, but. But with that being said, if I meet a Mike, I still give them a fair shake.
That's so interesting. What is your name bias? Let's turn it into that. Yes. I'm so curious as to what names you guys are biased against. 702-364-9400. While doing Jerker Justified, it's Jocelyn. Hey, Jocelyn, what do you think? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I absolutely think she's being a jerk.
You think that
she knew his name was Aspen when they first met. Hi, my name is Aspen. Why did she accept to go on dates? These are multiple dates. So why waste his time?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. It's not just like a one-time meeting like, oh, okay, Aspen, that's a different name. I don't think we're going to go any further. But also on that same note, Jocelyn, what's your name bias? What name do you have an issue with?
The only thing that I can think of is Dick.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little odd.
Just because it's a little odd.
And how do you get, is it Robert from Dick or whatever?
Yeah, Richard. I think it's Richard.
965 Nevada State.
Hey, Christine, good morning. Oh, I think she's busy.
I think she's a jerk because she knows that the name is Aspen. At the same time, my bias is Scott, which is funny because I named my first son Scott, but that's only because that happened to be his dad's middle name.
I've never had
a good relation with any Scott, so I'm really hoping that my kid doesn't grow up as a douche.
Big dreams, man. Big dreams. It's Mix 94.1.